You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It is Thursday, October 26th, and we're talking Diamondbacks baseball today with Steve Gilbert, our D-backs reporter for MLB.com. Steve, as always, we thank you for the time, and some news items for the Diamondbacks we'll get to in a little bit, of course. The search for the replacement for Ron Gardenhire, who is, of course, the new head man in the Motor City for the Tigers, filling their managerial position. And, of course, Tony La Russa, after a multi-year stint in Arizona's front office, is going to be leaving the team at the end of the month. So we'll talk about those two items. But first, I kind of want to get your thoughts on Game 2 of the World Series. As we're talking again on this Thursday, this is the off day, the travel day, as the Fall Classic now goes to Houston for games 3, 4, and 5. You know, obviously a very exciting, entertaining game last night. There's no question. Astros win it in 11 innings, 7-6. The 8 home runs combined the most ever for any World Series game. There have been a few of those over the years, so that's certainly noteworthy. The thing, though, that kind of strikes me as odd is that there seems to be a kind of a buzz this morning that this was one of the greatest World Series games ever played, and people are kind of putting it on a pedestal with Game 7 of last year between the Indians and the Cubs, which I do believe was one of the greatest World Series games ever played. This game last night, though, I don't know, and it's not that I'm opposed to teams hitting home runs. We all dig the long ball. That's obvious, and this is what the game has kind of become in 2017. But to see the 8 home runs combined and to see, you know, how 90% of the game's runs came on home runs, to me, it's again, not that it was boring, not that it was unentertaining, but there are just more entertaining ways for baseball games to unfold than it becoming kind of a home run derby contest. And that's how it kind of felt to me. What are your feelings on this? Am I being a total wet blanket, or do you agree with some of this?
Well, first off, you're talking to somebody who was at Game 7 of the 2001 World Series. And that for me is always going to be the greatest of World Series games, just because of all that went on in 2001 and the games at Yankee Stadium, and then coming back to Phoenix and Luis Gonzalez's walk-off base hit off one of the greatest closers in history. So that's kind of my background on it. That's always the game that sticks out for me, just, you know, from having been there and seeing it up close. I think that last night's game, it's interesting, all the home runs that were hit. I saw Dallas Keuchel said that he thought that, you know, maybe the balls were juiced, which is interesting. I don't know how they switched out all the baseballs in time for extra innings. That's a pretty big conspiracy theory that people float out there. But, you know, as you said, that's kind of where the game is right now. It's the way guys are adjusting their swings, whether it's a Justin Turner or Chris Taylor or whatnot, to swing, to put the ball in the air, to get lift, to get launch angle. And that's just kind of the way the game has evolved right now, and it'll be interesting to see how the pitchers counter that. I'm kind of looking more, you know, big picture at that, kind of see how things get, you know, because there's always this adjustment that goes on between the pitchers and the batters. I'll be interested to see how the hitters end up, end up adjusting to the new swing mechanics that these hitters have that are leading to all the home runs that you mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, and again, 8 of those, it broke the previous record for home runs in a World Series game, which had stood since 1989, the series between the Bay Area series between the A's and the Giants. 7 home runs were hit in one of those games of that Fall Classic. And back then, that was, you know, something that's, you know, got your attention, because you just didn't see in that era, you know, again, going all the way back to 1989, you know, games with 7 home runs, much less in the postseason. We see it now, and while it's still an attention getter, it's not as much of a novelty because of the day and age that we're in, with home runs being hit left and right. And that's, again, what baseball's become in 2017. And want to get your opinion on this. You know, when people go back and say, what was the most exciting play or moment? They say, well, it was this home run. No, it was that home run. Well, for me, it wasn't any home run. It was in the 10th inning when Kike Hernandez had the game-tying single into right field, a strong throw made from right field to try to get Logan Forsyth at the plate. It was a close play. Forsyth was safe. And for me, to see that play in terms of excitement and getting your blood flowing, that trumped any of the 8 home runs that were hit. Are you in agreement with that?
Sure. I think that kind of part of baseball is still amazing, how guys are able to make throws from that distance that accurately and to have a bang-bang play at home plate. Is always exciting, especially in a World Series, especially when it's extra innings and it's a big run like that. So, yeah, absolutely. Those kind of things are exciting. I think triples are exciting, too. I think, you know, all that kind of stuff. But last night just belonged to the home run ball.
Yeah, it certainly did. And I doubt we'll see 8 of those again in a single game. But given where baseball is right now, maybe that record will stand for one game. Maybe we'll see double digits in game 3. I don't know. But it'll be fun to see how the series evolves and develops from game 3 forward, as the Fall Classic now tied at 1 win apiece. And, Steve, as we come down the home stretch here in the next few minutes, want to get to those news items for the Diamondbacks themselves. Of course, the search is on for the replacement for Ron Gardenhire, who had been the bench coach for the past couple seasons. He's now the new head man in Detroit. What are you hearing about this search? Are they looking to promote from within, or perhaps look outside the organization?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if it came from outside the organization. I think the obvious in-house candidate is Jerry Nairn, who was slated to be their AAA Reno manager before the season. And then when Ron Gardenhire was diagnosed with prostate cancer towards the beginning of spring training, they decided to keep Jerry Nairn on staff, and he served as bench coach while Gardenhire got some treatment and had surgery for the prostate cancer. And Jerry Nairn kind of became a guy that was very popular with the players. They appreciated his knowledge and his insight. So it would really surprise me if it's somebody other than Jerry Nairn that winds up with the bench coaching job. They should have something within the next week as far as who that's going to be. But I certainly would think it would be Jerry Nairn.
Yeah, I think if he's not the guy, that would come as a shock to most. So maybe just a matter of time before he is officially appointed the bench coach replacement for Ron Gardenhire. And then, of course, the news coming a few days before Gardy was hired by the Tigers is that Tony La Russa is going to be leaving the organization as of the end of October. And, of course, you know, he's been there for a couple years, and his resume and track record as a manager speaks for itself, and then transitioning into that executive role. Just how much did he do for this Arizona franchise in terms of, you know, changing and modifying the culture and instilling confidence, you know, from the front office on down to the players? You know, how influential was he in getting this franchise to where it currently is?
Well, I think you one of the things that Mike Hazen, general manager Mike Hazen, talked about before the playoffs was that you look at the way the roster was constructed, and there's credit that goes to a number of different front office groups that have come through Arizona. It was Josh Burns and his group that drafted Paul Goldschmidt and A.J. Pollock. You know, it was Kevin Towers and his group that made some key acquisitions and drafted some guys. It was Dave Stewart and Tony La Russa who traded for Robbie Ray and signed Zach Greinke, you know, moves like that. So there's a lot of different people that had their fingerprints on this. And Tony last year, it seemed a little strange that he stuck around after Dave Stewart was dismissed. But Tony felt like the organization was in better shape than the record had indicated, and he didn't want to walk away. He said if that was going to be his last year in baseball, he didn't want to walk away having it be as big of a kind of disaster as 2016 was for the Diamondbacks. So he really wanted to come back and do what he could. He spent a lot of time with some of the minor league staff working within the organization. Mike Hazen, you know, relied on him initially when he came in to get a feel for what had happened last year and you know, who needed to stay and who needed to go within the organization. So certainly Tony played a role in what happened last year from what he from his contributions the 2 years before, and it just didn't quite work out for Tony as a front office executive, but certainly was a learning experience for him and kind of completed his baseball resume, having, you know, worked in the commissioner's office, and then also working in the baseball operations department.
Yeah, there's not much that Tony La Russa has not done, and as you said, he wanted to leave on something of a high note, and he certainly does, getting this Arizona team to being on the cusp, many believe, of becoming maybe one of the elite teams in 2018. We'll see what the future holds out there in the desert. Steve Gilbert, a great place to wrap this one up. We thank you, as always, for the time. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Arizona Diamondbacks.